This is WGBH. You're listening to All Things Considered. Good afternoon. I'm Aaron Schachter. Who wrote it, John Lennon or Paul McCartney? That's a debate Beatles fans have had for decades about a number of songs in the Fab Four's catalog. Could modern statistical analysis now provide answers? One Harvard scientist was curious enough to find out.
I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and this is the Curiosity Desk. Stop me if you've heard this one. Two statisticians walk into a conference and become fast friends thanks to their shared love of mathematics and the Beatles.
He had done some work previously, basically applying something called Fourier analysis to figure out what the first chord was of A Hard Day's Night.
That's Harvard's Mark Glickman, a senior lecturer in statistics. The he Glickman references is Dalhousie University math professor Jason Brown. Now, Brown has a knack for turning songs into data in all sorts of ways.
He'd been doing some subsequent work where he was trying to come up with some representations of Beatles songs using graphs, and it's not the kind of graph that you typically see like in a newspaper. It's a mathematical representation.
As they talked Beatles and math, Glickman thought about stylology, a statistical technique that has been used to determine the probability of authorship of everything from sacred texts to Shakespeare's plays. It is essentially a complex way of spotting and counting how often certain words and phrases are used by an author.
And that, in a way, is almost like a fingerprint of style.
And so the two scientists thought, what if individual notes in song melodies and individual chords in the backing music were words, and pairs of notes and pairs of chords were phrases? Could they run an experiment
where we could try to use the information to distinguish between Lennon songs and McCartney songs?
And so they tried. First, they looked for each writer's fingerprint. They hand-coded and analyzed 70 Beatles songs or song fragments that were known to have been written by either Lennon or McCartney. When it came to melody lines, they found that Lennon tends to be limited in his range, while McCartney is wont to take big leaps in pitch up and down the scale. Glickman, acoustic guitar in hand, illustrates with Eleanor Rigby.
All the lonely people.
Here we go.
Where do they all come from?
Where do? And that's an octave jump. And so there are no John Lennon songs where there's an octave jump in on the diatonic scale of the song.
When it comes to chord progressions under the melody, they found that John had a predilection for moving from what's called the tonic chord to the minor sixth. You can hear this on his song, It's Only Love.
The relevant part is just the very beginning, really. So it goes, you know, ba, 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 and then continues. John Lennon uses that quite a bit. Paul, not nearly as often as John Lennon does. That's one of the things that popped out of the model.
Conversely,
there's a chord change that's very particular to Paul McCartney.
That would be the fourth to the minor second, as he does on I'm Looking Through You.
He stays on the fourth, and then he goes to that first note in the verse, which is I'm looking through you, which is the minor second.
I'm looking through you. Where did you go? I thought I knew you. What did I know?
Next came the fun part. Armed with a fingerprint for each songwriter, they applied their model to 17 songs which were known only as collaborations, or which John and Paul had conflicting memories about who wrote what. Glickman says he always suspected the Rubber Soul track The Word was a Lennon tune, but the analysis skewed heavily in McCartney's favor. Glickman thinks due to a particular moment in the song.
The bridge between the chorus and the verse, that sort of funny harmonic change.
And then there is In My Life, a song that John said he wrote with a little input from Paul, but Paul remembers being a song that he wrote with lyrics by John. So
our model says that it's pretty likely that John wrote the song.
Of course, like any good statistician, Glickman is quick to point out the limits of their work. They aren't taking into account plenty of variables like lyrics, tempo, and instrumentation. Still, the team is discussing how to refine their techniques for more complex analysis in the future. To do that, all they'll need is love. Well, love and some more time and computing power. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herbig III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.
Sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.